Here's what I've been sensing inside, and I believe by looking around that other people are sensing this too, that other people are dealing with this too. About a week ago, I really got this in the spirit sitting here in the auditorium. Has you ever had a radio that's not tuned to a channel? It's just like a static. And it's low, they got the volume down low, but it's just static. I was sensing that in my spirit here about a week ago. It's just something irritating. You know, it's just something the devil is trying to do to irritate people and turn them, to just get them upset. You know, there's a difference between conviction and condemnation. It's a huge difference between conviction and condemnation. That's been stirring around inside of me a lot. And the reason for it is, I tend to be one of these kind of people that I'm harder on myself than anybody else would ever be. I'm harder on myself than Jesus. Jesus looks at me, I'm sure, and says, "Why are you so hard on yourself?" To the point at times that I let the enemy have a place. You know, we're not hearing these things that we hear at times. You know, you've got yourself, you got your own mind generating thoughts. You have the new nature that gives you the red light and the green light. We can hear the Holy Ghost speaking through our new nature. But you know, the enemy, he's also at work. You know what I'm talking about? You know the thoughts that he tries to bombard you with at times? Sometimes it's not a bombardment. Sometimes it's just like that drip of water that Pastor Dave talks about, that drip of water, drip, drip, drip. Well, this is what I've been noticing. He's been dropping these things, trying to get me to be ultra critical of myself. You know, and with the type of message that we teach here, most generally, people are, they want to do whatever they can to get rid of the junk from the inside of them. But there comes a point where what the enemy will try to do is, he tries to exploit things. He tries to make you feel like things that maybe that aren't even a problem, he can make them a problem. Things that for other people, it's like, "I don't even know what you're talking about, Mark." He can take those and he can exploit them and he can make issues inside of you. And I've noticed, I would think within the last month, that, and maybe it's just me, but I really doubt that. That he's, part of his attack right now is to try and nag and nag and nag. And I was trying to think of a good example to help present this. And the only thing that I could come up with is, you remember those family vacations when you were growing up? You had the two kids in the back seat, and you're going to go across the country, or maybe just across the state or whatever. See, my family would do that at times. Put me and my sister in the back seat. There was just the two of us. Oh, my goodness. I feel sorry for my parents now in hindsight. You know, it was just nagging back and forth with each other. And see, that's what I see in the spirit right now. That the enemy is trying to do that very thing, just like a child. just like a child, trying to take things and trying to exploit things. And the scripture that he gave me that we're going to start out with is in a book that I usually don't preach much out of, but this is easy to see. It's in Revelation. So turn over to Revelation. We're going to start there. It's going to be Revelation chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 7 through 11. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser, and that's the word that I want to point out, the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto the death. The word accuser, I thought it was a very interesting word as far as the definition of it. It means to rust down, to corrode, to canker. So I want you to think about that in the light of what that verse says. For the accuser of the brethren, he's the one that is doing the corroding. The corrosion is not something that happens quickly. Corrosion is something that takes time, but it eats away. And see, that's the accuser of the brethren. And that's what his job is. That's what he does. He's the one that's constantly trying to bring accusations against you. You can see it in a courtroom. You've got a prosecutor. That's going to be the devil. You got the defense attorney, that's going to be Jesus. Your defense attorney is your oldest brother, your Lord, your Savior. And your father, he's the judge. And the thing about this situation is, Jesus has already paid the price. That's the wonderful part of it all. But don't think that the accuser of the brethren is going to be quiet. Because he's not quiet at all. And a lot of the times the things that are eating away on the inside of us, like that canker, like that rust that the accuser of the brethren is, it's him. It's just simply him. And I feel like I'm hearing it more now, and I'm thinking, Lord, is anybody else sensing this? Is anybody else being attacked this way? And then I come to church this evening and I look around and faces that I would expect to see here, they're not here. And I think, apparently, something is trying to take them out. I want you to recognize what the enemy wants to do. I want you to recognize it. The power in exposing the enemy and his tactics is that when he comes knocking on your door, you know that it's him. And you know how to defeat that situation. You know how to come against it. That's the beauty of getting together like this. Getting together and sharing and saying, this is what's happening. This is what you need to be on guard against. These are the things the enemy's trying to use against us right now. If you run into a situation where all of a sudden it seems like you're on guard for every word that you say, because there's something inside that's causing you to feel like you're going to say the wrong thing. They're going to take it the wrong way. See, that's the accuser of the brethren trying to put you in a place of being anxious, being fearful to say anything. And see, that's what he tries to do. He wants to shut us up. That's what he wants to do. To shut them up, get them out of the way. Turn to Romans chapter 8. So I said that the two words, condemnation and conviction, are the two words that seem to be rolling around inside of me a lot. I'll tell you what, until I heard Pastor Dave sharing out of Romans chapter 8, verse 1, I had never heard another preacher share from that verse. Just never had. I guess they didn't know what it meant. I don't know. But I like that verse. Romans 8, verse 1. There is, therefore, now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let's stop there. I remember in the early days, when I first got saved, I was 25. I remember back then, if I would have heard that verse, there's no condemnation, I would have laughed, because I felt condemned all the time. I did. I felt condemned as a Christian. And I remember growing up in church feeling condemned all the time. Well, when I was in church then, I don't even know if I was saved or not. They just drugged me there week after week. And I never really knew. That's a sad way to be. You go there, you don't even know if you're saved. They preach a message, you feel condemned. You go out and do the same thing that you did the last week and go in and ask God to forgive you. And it was just a mess. So whenever I came into being born again at 25, I knew that I didn't want to live that way. And I just thank God that the hunger in my heart led me to this message and led me to an understanding that the condemnation, all of that was under the Old Testament, all the Old Covenant, under the law. When Jesus died on that cross and he paid the price for sin, and the law was fulfilled, the condemnation stops. But you could ask yourself, have I been feeling condemned? Because if you have, that's not God. Because this verse right here says there's no more condemning sentence. All of that has been put away with the first Adam. It's done. It's done. You're a new person now. But that doesn't mean that the accuser of the brethren isn't going to try and convince you that you're the same old person that you always were. Try to convince you, lie to you, tell you the things that you still are all messed up. You're still just a mess. Look at you. I remember early on when I started doing this message and I started coming out of some of that, realizing I'm not as messed up as what I thought I was, because I'm a new creation on the inside. It took a long time. Believe me, I was pretty messed up at the beginning. But eventually, as I continued to do the message, I continued to progress and walk out of that in my understanding. And I began to understand who I had become when I was born again. Who God had made me. But does it mean that I am not susceptible to the lies of the enemy? No. But what he uses on me now is not the same as what he used on me back then. What he used on me back then, I look at it now and I'm like, that's not going to affect me. But what he uses on me today to try and trip me up, it's much more seductive. It's much more deceptive. I look at something And he tries to convince me that I've made a mistake. Tries to get me to question decisions that I've made. That's one of the greatest attacks I think the enemy has, at least it's been with me. If he can get you questioning the decisions that you've made, he gets you going in that negative direction. And then you question this decision, well, maybe I did that one wrong. And then he gets you going, well, maybe this one wasn't right. And it's constantly going in a negative direction. Just know that I believe I heard the Lord. I believe this is the direction that he sent me in. Be confident in that and don't question when he comes and antagonizes and tries to get you to be in doubt and unbelief. We're going to go on in chapter 8. Turn over to, starting in verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, I love that verse, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. See, if you look at that verse, who's he that condemneth? And you look back over at the first verse of that chapter and you find out there's no condemnation. Clearly, Paul is saying that there is going to be someone that's going to be the condemner, that's going to try and condemn you in your thoughts, trying to get you to believe something that's not true. Who could that be? It's the accuser. He's going to try to get you to believe a lie. Well, why is it a lie? Well, if you're born again, the things that he's going to try and condemn you with, at least part of them, are going to be trying to convince you that this new nature, this new experience didn't happen to you. Now, if you get past that point and he can't trip you up there, then he's going to try and convince you of other things, other lies. But it's a constant attempt. It's like that, like I tried to describe earlier, that nagging. So what I want to point out tonight, I want to point out the difference in the condemnation and the conviction. So I want you to turn over to John. Look at chapter 8 of John. Now you reminded me of something in John 3. Go over there first. I'm going to be looking at verses 17, 18, and 19. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believed on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now we're going to look at a real life example here. Go over to John 8. A real life example. Just exactly what we're talking about. John 8, we're going to begin looking in verse 1. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him. He sat down and he taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger he wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. And when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, being at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And something that I had never seen before, if you look at verse 9, the one we just read. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. Now, I don't know what Jesus read. I'm not going to try to guess what he wrote. But I want you to notice something. Here we have these religious leaders that had brought this person, obviously, person in sin, obviously someone that had been set up to be found in the very act of adultery, something that had been planned out. According to the law, this is somebody that should have been stoned. They brought this person before Jesus. And this is the thing that I want you to notice. Not only did he not condemn their actions, he didn't condemn her either. Now, under the law, there should have been a stoning. But we also know that it says that the law and the prophets were until John. But after that, the kingdom of God has been preached. And that's what he was doing. As he came into this world, he was preaching the kingdom. And the kingdom is not condemnation. That's not what this was about. So whenever he was faced with this dilemma, what to do, he gets down on the ground, and not only does he not condemn the woman, but even these men standing there, whatever he wrote, whatever that was, that he put on the ground, apparently it had something that dealt with each one of them individually. And the result was, in their own hearts, in their own conscience. Now these people are spiritually dead, but these are the scribes and the Pharisees. So they knew what the law said. So he was addressing something particularly that told them that they were in violation. But it was in a convicting way. They weren't condemned. They were just simply convicted, because that's what Jesus does. He didn't come here to condemn the world. That's what we saw in John 3. So what I'm trying to point out to you, the condemnation that the enemy tries to put on us, all of the lies, the deception that he tries to use, and I truly believe that he's doing it overtime right now. That's in an effort to try and get you to believe a lie. You know, what we've been teaching here for the last couple of months has been about how we are this born-again new creation. really, we've really been honing in on it right now. And I think that the enemy's trying to show people just how much they're not born again when actually they are. To show them just really how much of a mess they are when really they're not a mess. But he's trying to pick apart. Pick, pick, pick. It's like taking a magnifying glass. I was hoping I had a magnifying glass, but I didn't. He wants to take a magnifying glass. And he wants to just take that magnifying glass. You know when you take one of those and everything gets real big. And he wants to take it and just shine it all over you and try to magnify. Magnify anything that he can find in you to try and convince you that you're really not making any progress whatsoever. And that is a lie. That's a lie. Trying to convince you that this isn't working, and all the time it is. Trying to show you just how not changed you are. You are so changed. You are so changed. Now, I'm not saying that you're complete. None of us are complete. There's always going to be something else that we can progress to. But I want you to realize something. You're not the same person that walked into these doors however many years ago. You're so different. You're so different. And all the time he wants to tell you, no, you're not. You're the same bum that came in here. That's a lie. That is a lie. We don't know how far we really are. I'm convinced of that. We really don't know just how far we are. I can tell you're excited about that. It's because that program keeps going on inside of us, telling us how not changed he wants us to believe that we are. And it's all a lie. It's all a lie. So I want to go on and tell you a little bit more about condemnation. So go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3. So Mark, tell me, when is this going to help me? Well, I can tell you when it's going to help you. When you feel like you're just getting your brains beat out. And you've heard this song and dance over and over and over again on the inside. How do you know that, Mark? I've heard it. I've heard it. Trying to worry wart you, trying to get you all upset. When really, it's the peace that comes out of that new nature. That's what we're supposed to be living in. That peace. So that no matter where he sends us, no matter what the circumstances that he marches us into, no matter what it is, that we walk right into it in perfect peace. Because you have to know that he wants to send us to places that aren't going to be easy. He wants to send us into situations that aren't going to be easy. And he wants us to be able to walk into those situations and be at peace. Not to be in torment. Not to be all upset. Not to let that of the enemy torment us to the point that we want to find a quick exit. Because that's not the answer. That's not why he sent us in there. He sent us in there because he wants to see some change happen. Amen? So let's look at this. Start reading in chapter 3, verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now look at this, verse 7. But if the ministration of death, isn't that nice? What in the world are they talking about? The law. The law is the ministration of death. Isn't that? That's hilarious. The ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For the ministration, look at this, of condemnation be glory much more, doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Let's stop there for a minute. The ministration of condemnation. See, that was the law. The law. Anytime anyone was in violation of the law, you know what had to happen? There had to be a sacrifice. Something had to die. Every time something happened. Think about that. You tell a lie. You steal something. Next thing you know, something's going to have to die. That condemnation stopped at the cross. It stopped. I want that to sink in. The condemnation stopped at the cross. There shouldn't be any condemnation going on inside of us. But we looked at Romans 8, and it said that there was someone that's going to be doing some condemning. And that's the enemy. I just simply want you to recognize this. I want you to recognize that some of those thoughts going on inside of your little noggin, some of those things, it's not you. It's certainly not God. It's the enemy. And he's so deceitful, he's so deceptive, that at times you don't recognize that it's him. There are times that I'm deceived by it. I hate to admit it, but it's the truth. And I catch myself listening to what he's convinced me of and actually following through basically out of fear. It's terrible, but it's the truth. There are times that he's convinced me of something. That, I'm not talking about like horrible sin. I'm talking about little bitty minute things. I'm talking about the little tricks trying to tell me, well, so and so, they didn't understand what you were saying. They misunderstand you, and you've made a mess of things. And I believe it. And it's him. Now, don't tell me that I'm the only one that has ever happened to. It's not you. It's him. You go walking away from a situation and you think, gee. And all of a sudden you get those thoughts going on inside of you and it's like, wow, that didn't go very well. You know, I've done it this time. And all this, and he just takes that and he just magnifies it and he continues to work at you and work at you and work at you. Next thing you know, you're totally convinced. You're totally convinced that you're wrong. And all the time it was him. I want you to see this. Because this will take you out just as much as anything else will. Well, how will it take me out? Well, you constantly believe that you're making mistakes like that. How long are you going to want to continue going in that direction? Think about that. If he can convince you that you're constantly making those kind of mistakes, aren't you going to want to change course at some point? Well, where's the change going to be? Is it going to be moving away from the message? Is it going to be moving away from the things that you know are really working a positive change inside of you? You see, that's what he wants to do. He wants to move you off the path. And he's going to use anything he can to do it. So if he can convince you that you haven't been changing, if he can convince you that you still are a sorry act, if he can convince you of that, eventually, and I'm not going to say it's going to happen overnight, because the accuser is the corrosion. It corrodes over time. So eventually, somewhere down the line, somewhere down the road, he's got you. Well, how can I change that? Because I don't want to end up that way. I don't want to end up that way. Well, one of the things that I've been doing, and it's one of those not very fun things, but I've been doing it in increments. I haven't been going on some big, huge, long fast. I've just been going a little bit at a time. Just a little bit. A little fast here, a little fast there. Just a little bit. And it doesn't hurt as bad. But I'm going to tell you something. You can get the same results. You really can. And I want you to at least consider it. If I stood up here and told you about a problem but didn't give you an answer or a solution, shame on me. But this will help you. And it doesn't have to be, I'm going to fast 40 days. No. Get that thought out of your mind. Just forget about that. Just try to go at it, let's say, on a weekly basis. Let's skip a few meals. Okay, just a few meals. You can do that. It's not that hard. But I want to warn you ahead of time. What will happen when you fast is that it will stir up your emotions. So if you're already dealing with emotional issues because of the attack of the enemy, when you do this, it may exacerbate it just a little bit. That's why I'm telling you, take it a little bit at a time. Not very much. Because gradually, you'll see a change. Gradually. And you won't, it won't be like you got hit by a Mack truck. All right, it'll be like you're hit by a Volkswagen. But the results will still be the same. I'm trying to be funny, but this is the answer. It really is. And the reason why I know it is because I'm seeing it in my own life right now. I'm seeing that this is the attack, but I'm able to talk about it because I'm able to see it for what it is. See, that's the difference. If you're just under an attack and you don't recognize the attack, you're in trouble. But when you're under attack and you can recognize it and God can show you what's happening and I'm seeing it, and I have to think that maybe a little bit of this fasting is maybe the reason why I'm able to see it, then I can share it with you. See, that's good. So I would guess that maybe there's some of you that don't even realize that it's going on. But I have news for you. I think it might be. I'm not saying 100% that it is, but I think it might be. Have you been irritable lately? No. Has it been easy to lose your temper? Have you been people mistake what you say? You know, I remember when Gary shared about a situation that him and Sue had, and I've had it with Debbie, where you say something and you know what you said, and she heard something differently than what you said. That's real, folks. You don't think that's going to cause a problem? Oh, yeah, that'll cause a problem. I have said before when I have known that that's been going on between me and Debbie. I've said, and I sit and try to think, okay, how can I say this? How can I say this so that it won't be offensive? And you know, no matter how hard I try at times, because it's not me. And that's what I want you to see. It's not you. Sometimes it's just him taking it and twisting it. And you got to recognize that stuff. You got to recognize the enemy. Let's not be naive and just think that we're going to walk into revival and the enemy isn't going to do something. He is. And his goal is to take you out. That's what he wants to do. He doesn't want to just take you out. He wants to totally destroy you. So there's never a chance of you coming back. That's what he wants to do. But it's not going to happen to you. It's not going to happen to you. You know, it's all a choice. It's all a choice. What are you going to choose to do? How are you going to choose to spend your time? Are you going to do the things, are you going to continue to do the things that you know are going to change you? Will you continue to do them? Will you continue to do them when they're hard? Will you continue to do them no matter what happens? No matter who else around you does them or doesn't do them? That's the question. See, my decision has already been made. I'm going to do this no matter what. I know it works. I know it works. You have to come to that place yourself. You have to. You have to come to that place where there's not a devil in hell that can shake you off of this message. There's not a devil in hell that can keep you from sitting and praying in tongues. There's not a devil in hell that can keep you from meditating His Word, confessing His Word, fasting. There's nothing that's going to stop you. Nothing. You got to come to that place. Because I'm just getting more convinced every day that walking into revival, it's going to cost some things to me. It's going to cost me some things. But am I going to let that hold me back? No. And neither are you. You have to want this. You have to want it. It's like I said earlier, isn't this worth laying your life down for? I believe it is. I truly believe it is. Because what are we going for? We're going to see the things that most people in this world will never see. That's what we're going for. We're going for the things that have been absent for generations in the earth. Think about that. We're striving for something that hasn't been seen since the apostles. That multitudes would be healed. That multitudes would come to Jesus. That's what we're going for. That's what we're believing for. That's what we have in Jesus' name. But I simply want you to realize that it isn't going to happen without facing the devil eyeball to eyeball and not flinching. It just won't happen. But you know some things that are going to keep you. You know some things. You know what to do. And we won't ever stop encouraging you to go in the prayer closet. We'll never stop encouraging you to get your the Bible out, to get the Word out, to put it in your mouth, to speak the things that will cause a change. You know, I'm the kind of person, if I'm going to be facing something, I would just soon know it in advance than to get surprised by it. That's just the way I am. If I'm going to be facing something and somebody else has a little nugget that they can share with me to help prepare me for it, I want that. And I feel like tonight that's what I've done, shared a little nugget. In hopes that you'll recognize, if you're not facing it right now, you might be. Probably will be. I don't know when. But this is how you get through it. You definitely don't stop. You definitely don't start questioning what's going on. What am I doing wrong? See, that's the thing that I've been facing. A lot lately. What am I doing wrong? No, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm continuing to do the very thing that brings about the change. The lies of the enemy, they're always going to be there. Sometimes more than others. But they're always going to be there. Just get used to it. But don't let that affect you. Don't let anything affect your walk. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.